B-Pod Studios.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on the Mike Vecinelli Show on Football Friday. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at LandisBC.com. All right, we just have our next guest for a couple of quick minutes here, and curious to get his spin on this Eagle season as they continue with the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. He is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. What's up, B-West?
Mikey, how are you doing, my friend? My Fridays are not complete without being able to speak to you. Normally, of course, we're on for an hour, but today we have the Brian Westbrook Show, a special event out there in Lawrenceville at Joe Canals in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. So I won't be able to talk to you for an hour, which greatly disappoints me.
But that's okay. Any Brian Westbrook is good Brian Westbrook. All right, so let's chat quickly about, you know, it's really funny. This is Football Friday. We have had very little to no reaction on this game as far as what the Eagles can or won't do and how it pertains to the rest of the season. Why do you think that is?
You know, that's a really good question. I think when you talk about this game here against the Seahawks and then last week's game against the Patriots, a lot of people at the beginning of the season, as soon as the schedules came out, penciled these as two losses, quite honestly. And I kind of think people still feel that way. And I also, when you think about some of the things that have happened to this team over the last couple of weeks with the injuries, with the our wide receivers basically being non-factors, I think a lot of people have lost faith on the season. And I think to your earlier point, I know you mentioned this a little bit earlier, I think a lot of people are saying it's going to come down to the Cowboys game. And really, not that you can tune out until the Cowboys game, but I think a lot of people are tuning out into the Cowboys game, which really I don't think is fair, but also, I understand the mind of a fan. And so all of those three things, you got to kind of fall into one of those categories.
Yeah, I think you're right. And even with a loss, and most people think they're going to lose this game on Sunday, and I'll get to how you feel in a minute, but even with the loss, if Dallas loses to the Patriots and the Eagles win out, which includes beating Dallas, they win that tiebreaker for the division. So I think that's what people are saying. Right. Wake me up when they play Dallas. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's one way to look at it. I believe that even if you looked at it that way, it's just so this is the way about teams. It's not just about game to game. And I think sometimes momentum helps, and positive momentum certainly helps, but there is a such thing as negative momentum, and losing a couple games in a row, a couple tight games that you think that you should have won, and now putting the pressure on winning games at the end of the season, that doesn't seem like a recipe for success for me. And so I wouldn't necessarily skip these next few games and try to get to Dallas because,
you got to play well. And so let's look at this game. I think the prevailing view of this game is that where Russell Wilson is going to score, and mm-hmm. the Eagles they don't seem to be that capable of matching whatever Wilson's going to put on the board. How do you see this game?
Well, the Seahawks have played a lot of close games, and there have been teams like the Browns and other teams that have put up points on the Seahawks, even though the Seahawks end up winning the game. And so when I look at that, I still think we could potentially score the football, even though after saying that, I have to wonder, but who? Who's going to make those plays?
That's why I was going back to ask you. Yeah, I hope you have an answer to that.
Well, I have a few hopes, and I think just like a lot of other Eagles fans, I kind of hope that Miles Sanders can find a way to get some explosive plays. I hope that Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert can find a way to make some plays. We saw Zach with 9 catches in the last 2 games, and so I have a bunch of hopes, but quite honestly, Mike, just like many other Eagles fans, there's not very many certainties on this football team at this point, and that's the unfortunate part, and that kind of plays into maybe the feelings of the fans as well.
Well, you know, it's funny because I don't know if Alshon Jeffery's going to play. Aguilar seems to be taking himself out of contention for this week. They have anybody mm-hmm. left they can put on the field? I mean, they have Ortega Whiteside, they have Hollins. Who else is going to get a shot here?
Well, nobody left that we've seen production from. And obviously, there's a chance that Lane Johnson plays. It probably is not going to happen. And that throws your first round left tackle into the right tackle position, which is not easy, not a very easy transition. You know, this is going to be a tough game for us to win. The Seattle defense has been playing very well here as of late. And Russell Wilson, of course, is an MVP candidate, probably the front runner for that with between him and Lamar Jackson. And so this is a tough football game for us, especially based upon the way that our offense is playing.
All right, I got to broach the subject with you because you had an ally, somebody, a guy called, and I guess it's the NFL Network is doing a top 20. They're nominating top 24 running backs to get down to top 12. And he said you definitely should be in the top 24. How do you feel about where your place is in running back history?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I think as a player, you have a little bit of an ego and certainly a lot of pride, and you want to be considered that high. I just, when I look at my career, Mike, I think that when I was at the top, and obviously a prime couple years there before some injuries set in, things like that, I was an elite running back. And for a long time, I was elite. But it wasn't long enough to be considered, obviously, Hall of Fame worthy. But also, you know, when I think of the top 25, I mean, you got to look at some of the old school guys as well that have did it on an elite level. And you also got to consider that many times when they make those lists, it's really compiled with guys that have gaudy rushing numbers. And that never was really my style as far as under Andy Reid tree. He wasn't going to run the ball a bunch. My style was more when you add the rushing and receiving numbers together, like some of the guys that are getting recognition now, Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, those types throughout the course of my career. So when you start putting these lists up together, they automatically look at the rushing number. They're like, oh, well, you only had, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 rushing yards. And so sometimes you get kind of kicked off those lists because of that. You know, when I look at these lists, I always include my receiving number, but I also include the point that, you know, there are times when in games for players like myself that you got to give up something to try to gain something. So I had to give up a bunch of rushing yards to try to get some receiving yards to help our team win because we didn't have a bunch of receivers. And so I say all that to say, of course I'm in the top 24, but no, I think, I mean, listen, there's been a lot of good running backs in the course of the NFL over time. Am I in the top 24? I think so in my mind. But if I just looked at numbers, I probably would say I would be outside.
Real fast, Dorn looking at his numbers, his best three-year average, he averaged 1,162 yards and 7.7 yards, touchdowns,
per
I mean.
Per touch?
For 7.7 touchdowns per year at about 5 yards a carry. And receiving for that same three-year span, he averaged 73.7 receptions and 4.7 receiving touchdowns. That three-year stretch is as good as anybody's in NFL history.
Wow.
That's gaudy for three straight years.
That really is. That puts you in the combo.
I'm glad that Tyrone found those stats.
He did. And normally he wouldn't want to find them, but he did find them for you.
I know. it's the holiday season, obviously.
It is. All right, man, before I let you go, I don't know if you have any picks ready or not, or you want to defer that.
You know, I don't have my picks in front of me just because I'm driving down.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to carry the mantle this week then.
I will tell you this. Last week, I was 3-0.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm figuring you were on a hot streak that you would throw a couple after the people. The people are dying to hear from a 3-0 man.
I'll text Tyrone my pick.
All right. Text Tyrone your selections, and we'll put them out there.
Sounds good.
All right, B. West. Thanks for joining us. All right, there's Brian Westbrook. He usually spends the hour. Not today. He's got another situation. And he is, of course, brought to us by the great people at Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at landisbc.com. Wow, that's pretty good numbers in a three-year span.
Yeah, 1,162 yards per year on average for three straight years and 7.7 touchdowns to go with 73 catches. Per year for that's amazing in any era. It's just right after that, he had the knee and the concussions. Mm-hmm. So his career kind of wrapped up quickly after.
One line is open if you want to grab it. 610-622-0975. Let's go to Jason in Exton. Jason, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Jason? Sir? How you doing?
You guys have a great show, man. I love listening to you guys on the way home.
Thanks, Jason.
Quick question for you. I know we talk about concerns. I have to say I'm a little concerned about Ben Simmons, man. I see that one shot. He seemed a little disappointed with the crowd reaction, like you said the other day. If he doesn't start shooting more and we get into next year, And I'm just throwing this out here, and we start to get calls on Devin Booker. Are we picking up the line?
Well,
are we talking to him?
I would think that the Sixers would. I'm not so sure the Phoenix Suns would. Yeah, you got. I mean, really? Why would the Phoenix? Seriously, the way Devin Booker is evolving as an NBA player, if you're the Phoenix Suns, would you trade him right now for Ben Simmons?
I wouldn't, but they're not putting anything really around Devin Booker out there, and they don't seem to really want to give him anybody to work with. That's just my thing.
Well, but then, like, how would it help them to get Simmons if that's the case?
Well, maybe they could see something in Simmons that he could develop. Maybe he's just a project they would want to work on.
But I want to ask you. I want to make you the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, right?
Okay.
And you go, okay, I already got a burgeoning star in this league. Would I trade him for somebody who has quote-unquote promise?
I guess they would.
I don't know. Maybe they would see his promises higher. But, when you have a star player already, it's hard. And they're young. They're both young. So it's not even, you don't even have an age factor you can throw in there.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm still a Ben Simmons believer. I do like the guy. But if I don't see an evolution by at least next year, I think we got him.
You know what's really funny, Jason, about your point? Because he took that three, and he lit up the building, and now people are holding it against him that he didn't take another one. Like, it completely subsided and went the other way. Okay, if you could do that, why can't I see it again? And he didn't give it to him again.
And I think that's part of the problem. For some reason, I think that gets in his head, and I really wish he would get out of that funk and start taking the shots. And one more thing, I do think the Eagles are going to win on Sunday.
You did?
I think they're going to win it. I think Seahawks are due for a loss.
Okay. I'm sorry to cut you off there. I hope they can win the game. I just don't sense any enthusiasm for the win at this point. And they're still holding as a favorite. I know it's kind of Seattle line at 1.5, but they're still a favorite. You know? It's not like they have gone below the Mendoza line here.
And the Seahawks are coming off the bye, and they've won 7 straight 1 o'clock games. That used to be a bugaboo for them.
Yeah.
They've solved that. But I just wish I could hang my hat on one offensive player. But without Howard playing, I can't even rely on Sanders as my change of pace back, because now he has to be my primary back.
It doesn't make any sense that they can score enough points to win this game. This doesn't.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But sometimes nonsensical things happen in the NFL.
I'm going to make a declaration right now.
Uh-huh.
If Hollins, a caller said it earlier, if Hollins or Arcega Whiteside score a real touchdown, not a fumble recovery touchdown, not something fluky, a real touchdown, like an end around or a receiving touchdown, I will buy and wear one of their jerseys next week.
Look at you.
Wow.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to put that out there. If either one of them score a touchdown, that's real. Now, if they recover, if Zach Ertz is going in the end zone fumbles and they fall on it, I'm not buying a jersey for them falling on a ball. But if they actually score a touchdown, I will find, buy, and wear a Hollins or Arcega Whiteside jersey.
The ultimate Tyrone moment. They get into the red zone. And the reason why they drafted J.J. Arcega Whiteside rears its head.
A jump ball, and he goes and gets it.
Jump ball fade, corner of the end zone, Tyrone wearing an Arcega Whiteside jersey.
I will do that if it happens. I expect to be wearing regular clothes Monday.
Dave in Center City. Oh, Dave. You just can't get enough of us, can you?
Yeah, Brian, I'm sorry I missed you. I hope you're listening on your trek to Lawrenceville. I'm getting highly aggravated. What don't our listeners understand? What don't the A-team understand? Why do I repeatedly say Dougie Pete is the first or second best coach in the NFL? All right? Earlier this year, he cleaned up a putrid Eagles defense. Now it's even getting better. We have 6 games left, gentlemen. He will clean the offense up. And what a coincidence. What's just starting in 6 weeks? The playoffs. He did the same thing last year with a 4-16 of second and third stringers. 2 years ago, he wins the Lombardi Trophy with a backup quarterback. Let's give this guy some credit. Where's the doom and gloom at here? I see a deep run into the playoffs, which I say every time.
First of all, you're insane about the deep run. Second of all, even if you think Doug Peterson is a good coach, what makes you think he can transform the Mac Hollinses and the J.J. Arcega Whitesides of the world? Come on, seriously. Let's be serious about this now. What do you think is going to happen? A miracle?
he will incorporate.
Have you been watching these guys?
Of course I've
been
watching.
How is it possible that a coach turns them into players on this particular Sunday?
Okay, you're going to flick a switch. You're going to see all these guys get separation this week.
Separation? They could spell separation. What is separation? What are you talking about?
You're going to see these guys catch footballs like they got Jerry Rice hands. This is what people
do. Dave, you're giving me jolly chally right now. Come on. That's not realistic what you're saying.
You wait.
You can be a jolly chally. Just tell me you go, I'm being jolly chally here. Don't try to convince me of nonsense.
the caller from on his way to Bethlehem, he said there are two superstars on the show. Natalie and Tyrone. By the way, there's only one superstar on the A team, and that's Dave from Center City. I love you.
You
guys.
Love yourself some Dave. I'll tell you that.
All right.
See, come on. Dave can't be that misguided that he says they're going to make a long run in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden these guys that we've seen, they can't perform. This year, nothing's magic's going to happen. They're going to turn these guys into players. We've already seen enough of Matt Collins. We've seen enough of Aguilar. All right? Next year, maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside flourishes in a role where he's, if Alshon's not here or whatever, I don't know. But come on. Let's go to Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, what's up?
Good on, Joe.
You know what? I'm looking at the top athletes. Man, I got to say I like Embiid, number one, because I think in his league, there's nobody else like him. And he's a dominant player in his league. And I don't think there's many other guys. There's no any other talents like him in this league. I think Bryce Harper is second because, you know, I mean, he has a track record. I mean, he's an MVP and all that. But, I mean, just learning him since he come here, he learned that it's like 10 other guys who can really do the same things he do in the league. I got Carson Wentz third, only because he's been pedestrian since last year, and I think he's really carrying on to this year a little bit. I mean, receivers aside and all that, I mean, he hasn't really lit nothing up. Like, you know what I mean? Some guy, I mean, like, that's cool. But I got Ben Simmons fourth only because, you know what I mean? I ain't going to say fatal flaw because it's not fatal for him because he got other talents. But, I mean, he really has a, you know, anchor around him that really can hold him from being, on top.
Listen, I can't argue with any of your selection. It's interesting you put Embiid first because a lot of people will factor in. And the question is, who do you have the most faith in? Now with Embiid, there's always that possibility of injury. And we've seen it before and the load management and the conditioning and all that. So
he's not breaking nothing in the surgery. That's what I'm worried about.
You're right about that. I think that's what's holding people back. Like, I don't have a problem with your choices in being number one. I went Harper because it's safer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 13 years. I mean, you're going to continue to do it. Exactly. Not injury and all that. I definitely think safer.
Yeah.
But I think, I think Embiid can take us there. You know, that's why I have more faith in him. I think he's the one that can take us to that promised land before any of those guys.
I think it's fair.
And I was listening to you talking about Brian Westbrook, man. That's the one thing I was wondering about Westbrook. How did he get to Villanova, man? I always thought maybe he got kicked out of the SEC or something like that.
Yeah, he got hurt in high school. He had an ACL surgery.
Okay.
And that turned Division I schools away. And Villanova was in there, and they got him on the rebound.
Because I know nobody could miss out a dude like that, man. Because he comes, I mean, even when they Villanova, they never show Villanova highlights on TV until he comes there.
Yeah, and he was a little small for Division I back
in
high school.
He steps into the NFL and still was a head and shoulders above, especially blocking. You talk about the running and catching. That dude can pick up a blitz better than any. I mean, he's got to be the one.
No question about it. They did the scouting. That was a great scouting coup by them when they grabbed him.
Because
I got to be honest with you, I questioned it. I really did. I couldn't tell how Division 1A at the time they were 1A.
Right.
Like how he was going to flourish, but he did. I mean, he developed.
I was telling him on the news all the time. I said, this is the guy.
No, he was a dominant player at Villanova. I mean, he was a frighteningly dominant player at Villanova. Anytime he touched the ball, and they had him touch the ball every single time. Punt returns, kickoff returns, throw it to him in the backfield.
I remember there was fear that he wouldn't make the third round, which shows you how good he was in college out of Villanova. that, you know, because he ended up being a third round pick. But there was like, oh, maybe the Rams will take him at the end of the second round. Remember, there was a lot of speculation. Eagles lucked out with that.
All right. On the other side,
and I have Brian's picks, so I guess I'll
give Brian's picks. I'm going to give you my picks. And then after that, I get this really interesting survey that was sent to me by a guy named Michael Riccardelli from Seton Hall University.
I got that too. The survey?
You got that too?
Yeah.
From the Stillman School of Business.
Yeah, that was cool.
They did a survey on various sports topics and the news and the current event topics. And we'll get to that in a bit. And we got our locks of the week coming your way and a couple open lines right now. It's 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show, and 4:30 on Football Fridays. You know what we do? It's a little segment we call the Locks of the Week, presented by McCausland Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. I'm going to start off with a college play and then give you two NFL plays. Do we have Westbrook's picks, by the way?
Yes, I have.
All right. We'll get let's get his first. Go ahead.
All right.
This is B. West pick.
Yes, he always goes NFL.
Mm-hmm.
First up, Washington's a bad team. Lions without their starting quarterback. He goes with the Lions anyway, -3.5 against Washington.
Okay.
Not good for Eagles fans here. He goes Cowboys +6.5 against the Patriots. I wonder if he likes them outright.
Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right. And he likes +6.5.
+6.5. And he likes the Packers +3.5 against the 49ers. I kind of like that pick. I think the Niners will probably do for a loss.
Okay.
So those are his three picks.
All right. Now, my selections this week, I'm going to start off with a college game that nobody will ever play. And I looked at the line, I go, seriously? This is where I bow to the oddsmakers in Vegas, because Navy is a favorite at home against SMU. And SMU's had a decent year.
Yes.
The Navy, -3.5. I'm going to take the minis. How about that? I'll take Navy to cover the 3.5.
Makes sense.
All right. Now, let's go to the NFL. The Atlanta Falcons are hot. All of a sudden, they found their stride, and they find themselves as a 4-point favorite at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll ride with Ice, and I'll take the Atlanta Falcons -4. And now this game, I think this is an outright. The Oakland Raiders are traveling all the way to North Jersey. And the Jets, they stink, but they're only a 3-point dog. I smell the Jets and Sammy Darnold outright. Over Grudog.
Look at that.
How you feel about those?
I feel good about... No. The only question is, it's hard for me to rely on those Falcons. But the Navy and the Jets pick, I really
like. You like the Jets to win that game?
I like them at least cover the three.
It's a shorty line for, you know?
Yeah, and I think the Raiders are doing it last place schedule, smoke and mirrors. I don't think they're that good. A lot of rookies. Right. I think they're due.
Atlanta's hot, and Tampa Bay is just so erratic.
They turn the ball over. They're all over the place.
All right, I like my selections. Anyway, that's Locks of the Week. Presented by McCausland Lock Services, 50% off all car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. Should we do our Twitter poll?
Sure.
Let's do our Twitter poll. Our Twitter poll update is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. This is a very interesting Twitter poll.
It is.
We actually have two going on because we threw a flyer poll in there.
Yeah, we did. It's pretty contentious.
All right, so the question is, who do you have the most faith in of the four star players we have in this town right now? How do you rank it as far as the most faith?
Yes, that is correct. And I will go in numerical order this time.
Thank you.
So 34% say Harper.
34% Harp.
Yes, 32% say Embiid. 28% say Wentz. 6% say Simmons.
28% say Wentz.
Yes.
He's closing in.
He is. Now the Flyers poll is starting to really heat up here.
All right.
We've got a, you know, who do you have the most faith in on the Flyers? 40% say Giroux, but 38% say Hart. So he's making a run.
And he didn't play last night.
18% say Frost. 4% say Farabee.
All right. I still have not gotten to the burning question. I don't know if I can finish this show. Why does Brian Elliott have L's on his mask instead of moose?
Elves?
L's.
L's.
E-L-L-S.
Oh, I thought you said elves.
No, L's.
I was like, why does he have elves?
Ernie L's with an extra L.
Not as in Christmas elf.
Nope.
Well, maybe Jordan. So, somebody from NBC Sports Philly will have an explanation.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. TJ, Southwest Philly. What's up, TJ?
What's up? What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
I got a question for Tyrone now, because I called up a couple weeks ago to talk about Ben Simmons. When I hung up, he was coming at me a little bit. It sounds like to me, man, you got one leg hanging off the Ben Simmons ship, man. I don't know.
You know, he did rank him fourth. I asked him that question a little earlier. Are you down? Yeah, are you a little bit down on Ben right now?
No, it's three. I'm talking about three guys I think are going to be stars.
Okay. It's just not that he dislikes Ben. He just has him ranked below the three others.
My problem with Ben Simmons is, you know, all of us have been watching basketball for a long time, and we've seen the way the NBA has changed over the years. It's a young league now, and guys are coming in young, and they're coming in playing. It's not like back in the day where a guy came in and he had to sit down behind a star, and you know, he developed over time, unless he was just like a superstar. Nowadays, man, these guys coming in 1 or 2 years, you already know if they're going to be players or not. After 2-3 years, you already know if they're going to be marginal or just bums. And my thing is, he was the first round pick. He was the first pick in the draft. He's a 6'9" point guard. This guy, to me, is either coaching or he just doesn't have a mind to be a point guard. I mean, he's a big guy. He picks his dribble up too fast. Like
He wouldn't pick up the dribble too much if he could shoot the medium-range jumper. See, that's the thing that ties him up. Well, you're right. Yes. He does pick up the dribble, and then he passes it out of weird spots. Instead of the easiest play is, you just shoot a 12, 15-footer. I agree with you. He does pick up the dribble, and then he gets caught.
All I'm saying is for him to be a first-round pick and to be projected, looked at as a superstar, he doesn't even have a point guard mind. Like, well, I know what I'm watching. I'm like, this is not a point guard.
He is a point guard.
I'm going to try to use my other attributes.
He is a point guard that gives the Sixers an advantage that no team in the league has. If he would only add to his game. Like, if he could, like, you see Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker, now, he's a ball hog, but when he's got the ball and he moves into certain spots, off a dribble, give a little shimmy shake, gets into a spot. That's what he can do every single time.
Well, let me ask you, Mike, even when you watched Magic back in the day, Magic wasn't a great shooter, but what Magic did, Magic was a master of setting guys up and using his body to draw double teams to him. He doesn't even do that in a half-court set. You don't even notice him in a half-court.
He needs more evolution. There's no question.
Now you're of the mindset that
he's not going to get it, and that's fair, and that's the big question. Ben Simmons, is he going to evolve into what he needs to evolve into or not? I mean, I don't like the fact that he accepts himself. I don't like that part of it. I don't think he thinks there's anything wrong with his game at all, and that's a problem for me. Let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, I just want to chime in on the Eagles and the Flyers. I think the Eagles win. I think it might come down to kicker boy. I think actually Mills or Brendan Graham on defense are going to make a play. I can't even talk about the receivers. So if I could trot five tight ends out there, I would. But I think they got a real shot if they keep Russell Wilson from getting outside the pocket.
Well, they are favored, although by a slim margin. So they obviously have a shot. I look at it logically. I go, all right, are they going to hold? It's possible that they hold the Seahawks to less than 20. But, you know, when this guy has a game on the line, he finds a way to get seven.
I think our defense is playing better. I don't have a lot of faith in the offense. But I also think, I believe I have an answer to your Elliott question.
Okay. Is it else? Does he have else on his?
Yeah, he has else.
He has else.
Yeah, because the players call each other by short nicknames, so you...
Yeah, but his name is Moose.
His nickname is Moose.
Yes.
But that's like a locker room nickname.
It's same one syllable. L's Moose.
It is one syllable.
His name is Moose.
The whole league might know it. So you just say L's, L's, seat. Like it's in your feet.
Yeah, and Elliott would call me that. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they call him L's on the ice. I think they Moose. So, like... Everybody calls him Moose. Even the players, when they talk about him, Moose had a good game. I'm going to say Els had a good game. They say Moose had a good game.
I wonder if it's
a superstition thing.
Els?
Like he had Els on way before he was in the NHL or something. He stuck with it.
Maybe it's like a family nickname.
Well, we got to get something to the bottom of it.
What?
It's a family nickname.
I don't know.
You think his mom calls him Els?
Yeah, you never know. Maybe his dad does.
Hey,
little Els. There's big Els and little Els. Big L.
All right. Whatever. I was just confused. I like to get my nickname straight. And all this time, I thought it was Moose, and then I see L's.
Do you know why he's called Moose?
Yeah, because he does moose calls.
Really?
Yeah. I think he does. I had heard that before, that he does a moose call. Like, that's his claim to fame. He could do a moose call.
Wait.
Like, he's a Canadian, right? So, like, it's a moose call Canadian thing, and he does it.
What?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that's accurate.
How do you do a moose call? Don't you need a whistle?
No, you imitate a moose. He can imitate a moose's
call. Stop. Are you pulling my leg?
No, I think that's the actual reason.
Ty, is he?
I don't know.
I'm not.
How do you? Why would you call a moose?
Because when he was in the locker rooms, he would do a moose thing, and they call him Moose because of that.
Yeah, but what is a moose call? Why would you call a moose?
No, you don't call a moose. A moose emanates a certain sound. A moose, like, ooh, or whatever. I don't know what a moose says, but a moose says something. It's like a cow says moo. A moose says something. And he apparently does it.
No, this is not true.
I think it's true. Ooh. I had heard it a while ago.
I'm going to hit up Tyron to find out. She'll know.
All right.
Tyron will know this.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On the Mike Missinelli Show. Yes, it's Football Friday on the Fanatic. It's brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law. We've done everything but talk football today. About the power of justice. Rosenbaum Injury Law for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. All right, correction, Johnny Gaudreau is 26 years old, Tyrone.
Also a young guy.
Still young. All right, let me get to this poll. You know, like, certain universities are famous for their polls, like Quinnipiac with the political poll.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Seton Hall University of Business School is famous for their sports polls. Since, like, 2005 or whatever, they've been doing these sports polls. So they had a poll that just they completed, and it's crime and punishment in the sports world. So let me get to the issues and see if you agree with this or what side you would be on. So the first question is, former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick probably auditioned in front of a portion of NFL teams last. Do you think he deserved the opportunity to audition in front of any NFL teams? Yes, no, don't know, or no opinion. How did it come out?
I believe most people would say no. I would obviously say yes.
Most people said yes. 57% yes, 29% no, and don't know or have no opinion, 15%.
Okay.
All right. Second question. Kaepernick didn't attend the NFL sanctioned audition, but decided to set up his own showcase because the league wasn't acting in good faith, according to him. Do you think in setting up the original audition, the NFL was acting in good faith, or was it just an attempt by the league to gain some positive publicity? How did this come out? Good. One is good faith. Two, attempt for positive publicity. Three, don't know, no opinion.
I think two's in the lead.
If you think attempt guess. For positive publicity?
Yeah.
You are right. 38% to 37% in good faith. A slim margin.
Yeah, slim. Okay.
And don't know, no opinion, 25%. All right. Now, Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns ejected from a game for tearing off the helmet of the opposing quarterback, hitting him over the head with it, was subsequently suspended by the NFL for at least the rest of the season. Question. Do you think he should have been suspended for the rest of the season? Less than that, or not at all? How did that come out?
I believe most people are against the suspension.
Or permanently suspended.
I believe another choice. I think that was a small percentage. I bet you some people think either not at all or less than the rest of the year.
40% said the rest of the season.
Oh, that's pretty high.
22% said suspended permanently.
Wow.
And 13% said less than the rest of the season or not at all.
So it shows you then this city is more bloodthirsty than others. No, because we were like 90-10, remember when we talked about it?
Yes.
So this city is clearly more bloodthirsty than that sample that was.
Yeah. Now, the one thing we didn't talk about on this issue was that Myles Garrett all of a sudden comes out and says that he was called a racial slur.
Yes.
By Mason Rudolph. How did you feel about that?
My issue with it was that he waited so long to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and I was against Garrett mm-hmm. at first.
Yeah.
Then, when all of a sudden, the only thing Rudolph can say, even though he has a weekly press conference and press conferences all the time, all of a sudden he's reading from a lawyer's statement and he can't comment on that. That should be an easy, I didn't say that. I wouldn't say that, et cetera.
Yeah.
That troubled me to think that maybe he did.
You know what? It should have been. But I would think it had he did say that, somebody else would have heard it, and it would have come out somehow.
Pardon me, but all of a sudden, now, even though quarterbacks and a lot of centers mm-hmm. and linebackers are, they're always mic'd up. Now, they don't always use it, but they're always mic'd up.
Yeah.
Somehow, no one has any of the mics.
Yeah. All right, final question. Do you think Garrett should face criminal charges for his action during the game? How'd this poll come out?
It was like 55% say no, 45% say yes.
51% say no, 31% say yes, 18% don't know, no opinion.
Hmm.
All right, so thanks to the people at Seton Hall.
That's some good data.
Yeah.
I like that data.
Yeah. They work hard at those polls. All right, let's go to Nick in South Jersey. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
How we doing, Mike?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about, you know, you brought up why there's no excitement for the Eagles game, or really the season.
Uh-huh.
I think, and now I love the Phillies and the Eagles, but the slop that the Phillies put out on the back end of the season kind of has a little bit to do with it. You think about last season and when they were making a drive at the end of the game, when Foles had the ball, you know, in the Bears game, or even in the Saints playoff game, there was a part of me, like deep inside my body, that was like, okay, they're going to do this. You know, I felt confident when they had the ball. Now, you know, you watch the Patriots game, they got 10 straight punts. There's not one time where I actually feel legitimately confident that they can get the job done. It's like a weird feeling in your body.
And it's fair because they really haven't proven that they have the talent to make the fan feel confident. So I think that plays into it. I agree. But, again, we can't lose sight of the fact that they can still win a division and get in the playoffs. I know it's a climb down from what we thought would happen this year, but it's still very, very much in front of them here.
I don't disagree with that. And, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they did make the playoffs. But a lot of things do have to go right. But when you think about this team, there's no playmakers. And, you know, you talk about, I listen to the show all the time, and you talk about how the wide receiver core, everything. There's no one as bland as Zach Ertz. I understand he gets the job done.
That's the last thing you should be worried about.
Well, 7-8 yard receptions every time.
Come on, he's a tight end. What do you expect him to be, a wide receiver? He's going to bust open. Come on. He does what he can do. He's the only weapon they have.
I agree with that, and he's the most consistent weapon, but he doesn't stretch the field. You know,
no tight end stretches the field.
Travis Kelce does.
Yeah, well, you're talking about one guy. Zach Ertz runs what he can, and they run the patterns that are going to be most successful to them. That he's not the problem. And not only that, but because they don't have any other receivers, the focus is always on him. Well, what do you expect from him?
100%. You are correct when you say that. But the fact that he's their top playmaker is the issue in itself.
Yeah, but you're looking for a tight end to make bust open plays, and it doesn't really work that way. You know, Kelce will make the play after he gets the 10-yard, 15-yard play and then bust a tackle. And Ertz is not a tackle buster like that guy is. So that's where he gets his big plays. All right, we'll take a break. 5 o'clock hour is ahead.
Must listen to this update.
Oh, we have we have some big news coming?
Well, it's news.
It's news related to the Eagles.
News. All right.
Okay. Stay tuned for the update. End of 5 o'clock hour. Mike Missanelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.